I think what's really important in terms of the retailing piece, before you can do anything, whether it's working on your goal or working on your retailing or your prospecting and recruiting, you have to realize the reasons for doing it. You have to think about the reasons you would do something as well as your opportunity to do something. And it's just as I shared with the article about the ADHD, that's a reason for us to share our OPC. And if we care about people, we'll begin to do that. There's a couple of other articles that we've talked about in the past that I think also give us reasons to focus on sharing in terms of getting more exposure for our products. A couple of weeks ago, we had the article that was in the New York Times that talks about diabetes and how it's quickly becoming a crisis across the country. And in fact, particularly in the African-American community, it is already a crisis and has been for some time. But this article spoke to the fact that there were 800,000 adult New Yorkers, more than 1 in 8, who have diabetes. And the city officials consider that a bona fide epidemic. So that situation is happening all across the country, and that's the type of information we need access to understand why it's important for us to share the products that we have to offer. There's also an article that spoke to the fact that the fitness industry was finally changing its focus and aiming for a black audience. And obviously we have a lot of health issues, we have obesity issues, but obesity issues are across the country as well. And my point here is that there are just so many reasons. If you are not focusing on yourself, there are so many reasons to share the product that we have to offer with other people with whom we come in contact. And one of the last articles I found today on CNN.com was from their medical doctor, Dr. Gupta, who said that they're just starting a grassroots effort to combat people being overweight. It's going to be called Fit Nation. And they're going to travel around to a lot of places talking about eating properly. What I thought was interesting about this is that they're going to begin with college campuses. Okay, and they're going to start at Spelman College in Atlanta, and they're going to go to the University of North Carolina, University of Michigan, University of Texas. Why are colleges are the ideal place to help people change their behaviors? Colleges are also the ideal place to introduce many of your products, specifically the transitions program. Even if you didn't fully introduce the entire program, they can definitely benefit from the transitions entrees and the snacks as compared to what they have available to eat. Also, our recent introduction of the Awake product is ideal for college students who are cramming for tests and not taking proper care of themselves. That is one of your best markets in terms of needing your entire nutritional supplement line as well as your specialty products. And obviously, there's the reason that most of you are involved with this business vehicle is income generation. You simply want the opportunity to get out of debt. You have tithing to do at church. You have mission work to do. And maybe you simply want to do what J.R. refers to as having your occupation become your avocation. You simply want to be able to volunteer your time doing the things that you love. And for most of us, you cannot do that unless you have another source of income. So when you think about how we're going to address retailing, especially within the community, I want you to keep in mind two of the five questions that Jackie Blasco shared with us the last time she was on the call. The first question that people are going to ask you and be thinking to themselves, even if they don't say it out loud, is, can I trust the people? The second question is, do the products work? And those are the things that you have to keep in mind in terms of you can't miss a step in establishing your credibility from the very beginning. You can't ever take advantage of people, you can't ever overprice the products, and you can't ever mislead people in terms of what the products are capable of doing. Can I trust the people? Do the products work? Those are the same questions that we had when someone first shared this venture with us, and we need to keep at the top of our mind that those are the questions that other people have as well. So when you think about that retailing piece, it's critical for several reasons, but sufficient retail is going to enable you to sustain your business while you're building a solid organization. So you're going to have, of course, the monetary benefits and the psychological benefits. The psychological benefits that I'm particularly concerned with are your belief and your confidence. But before you get there, you have to get an idea of what's really going to be effective for you in terms of setting a retail goal. Okay? You're going to use your retail profit, but you have to know how much that's going to be. And before you can shoot for how much that's going to be, you have to really be clear about how much you need. And we've done this exercise before, but I really think it's important for you to go through it again. I want you to take some time after this call and review your business budget. Don't assume what it is. You know, sometimes I ask you, how much are you spending on your business, and you'll say $500 a month or $300 a month. But you don't really know. I want you to look at the real numbers. Consider what your annual renewal is. Consider your ATG monthly. Consider your transfer buy, your unfranchised management system. Sometimes we will think this is an annual cost, therefore it's not a monthly cost, but it really is. If it's $60 a year, then you're going to have to break everything down into a monthly in order to understand what your monthly obligations are. All right. So when you do that, then you have to factor in the cost of going to second loaves. I know they're only $5 for distributors, but if you go to two a month, then you're spending $10. If you go to four, you're spending $20. You have to account for that because that $20 has to come from somewhere. You have to account for the money that you're spending to go to your local seminar, and then regionals are coming up, so you have to account for that. Put all of that information down. Consider what you're spending on your products and your brochures of choice. Your personal use above your transfer buying has to be accounted for, and I know many of us don't do that. And then look at where you have products in your house. How much is it costing you to have your SLS in each of your bathrooms? How much is it costing you to have Snap in your laundry room? About your SP7, the friction-free that you're putting in your car. Everything is not really going to be a one-to-one transfer buy unless you were spending money previously in that area. But once you get clear on what your exact usage is, okay, factoring in items such as your sales tax, so you pay it quarterly or monthly where you live, all right, you're fortunate you live in a place where you don't have to pay it. What about your bank account for your business? And I know after our business call, we all have separate bank accounts now. There's a service charge to that. All of those costs are critical before you can begin to really maximize the benefits of a really strong retail system. Because, you see, the reality is that many of us are in debt each month simply because we don't have enough customers to cover the cost of doing business. And your only options are to lower the cost of doing business or increase your retail sales. And this is on the way to building a strong enough organization where you have so many commission checks that maybe you don't care as much about the retail profit, although I really can't imagine that because there's always something good you can do with that extra money. But once you identify the target amount that you're spending, whether it's $500 or $1,000, that amount has to be converted into sales pretty quickly, or you're going to fall behind. And especially for your new people, you have to help them get into the positive as soon as possible. Because if you don't, then they're going to be discouraged. It's going to affect your confidence and your posture. And if you're like most people, you're taking some of the money that you're using for this business from your family funds, and that's going to create all sorts of family issues when that money doesn't turn around as quickly as it needs to be. So once you know that you have to make at least $500 to cover the cost, then you've got to make your action plan to match that target amount. Me, I love selling OPC. I mean, I love selling it, and I pretty much always sell it by the case. So for an example, if my cost is $276 and my shipping and handling is $20, that's $296, I'm going to sell them for $64 each, which is going to give me a retail profit of $90 per case. Then I know I have to sell six cases to make $540 to cover my monthly expense, including the cost of brochures for every customer, which is going to add another $12. You have to base your expenses on your product of choice. But if what you want to sell doesn't cover your expenses, then you have to change your cost or change your product of choice. I might like to sell the Global Care Store, and I really do, but that can't be my primary product because it simply doesn't generate enough volume, and it doesn't generate enough retail profit. It's an add-on store for me. Now, once I know what I have to sell, then that's going to drive what goes into my action plan, and this is going to be critical to your retailing. If I'm going to sell six cases of OPC, then let's say I have enough regular repeat customers who buy one case. That means I have to have at least a combination of three product shows per month with at least five guests, two of whom make a purchase. That accounts for one more case. Then I have to schedule more product shows in addition to distributing my five health awareness surveys per day or a combination of a minimum of 20 surveys per week. Because I know from experience, if I do 20 surveys per week with follow-up, I'm usually going to get at least five new customers, which is almost another case. You see, the reality is that you simply have to commit to finding a combination of product and personal effort that's going to cover your expenses. Now, if you have sufficient volume coming through, then you can, of course, use the checks that you are generating to cover your costs, but only if they really cover the actual cost. And here's where we have some struggle. Sometimes we'll get a commission check on Monday. Everyone's excited when that check comes, and they say, oh, this is great. I made $300, or I made $600, and then they spend the money. But you didn't really make any money if you were operating at a deficit that month. That's why it's important to keep that money separate pay your business first, and then what's left is what you made, and that's what you're going to put on your debts into savings and into your wealth building efforts. But building that retail is where the challenges come in, because it requires the most time, attention, and most importantly, it requires a lot of commitment for you. So what you have to do, like we've discussed before, is consider all the options for generating retail, but it's most important to remember that none of these options are going to work unless you work them consistently. You can choose what you want. I mean, I happen to love the Health Awareness Survey. But if you prefer to do product preview shows, you want to do the Health Awareness Seminar, whichever one you choose, though, you have to do it enough in order to get the results that you want. And when you think about retailing, especially in our community, that credibility is so important, because once you lose it, it is virtually impossible to get it back. So when you're talking with people about what you have to offer, it's really, you know, you have to understand the importance of your own beliefs. And that has to be your belief in the value and effectiveness of the product. You see, even if the product works, if you don't believe it's worth the price, you're not going to use it, and you're not going to be able to effectively sell it. And if you don't really believe it, then when you speak to someone in the community, they're going to sense that you're just not being honest. And if you're not being honest about that, that's automatically going to spread to they're being concerned about what else you may not be fully disclosing when you're talking to them about the business portion of what you have to offer. And the reality is that you have to remember how important your integrity is. Many times, especially in our community, we have to deal with the old stereotype of black people won't do business with black people. Well, you have some choices here. You can own the stereotype and walk right through it, but if you sell products that you know don't work, or if you sell your products at wholesale cost, that really sets you up for proving the point of the stereotype. Because if you believe in the value of what you have, none of us expects to go into JCPenney's or go into Walmart or go into Nordstrom's or any other store and not pay full value. Now, of course, there's sales occasionally, but we don't walk into stores and pay wholesale. And if you are operating a real business with this vehicle, you don't sell your products for wholesale either. There's absolutely no place in the business before that. But you have to think about the reason, the why behind the stereotypes. A lot of times it's just about status, it's just about show, and we're guilty of the same things no matter who we're trying to sell people something to. It's almost as if we say, well, I don't want to give the impression that I need the money, therefore I'm going to give them a price break. It's not about whether you need the extra retail profit, it's about value for value. If you're giving a product that works and does every single thing the brochure says it'll do, then you ought to expect to get paid a fair price for that. But a lot of times, when you're sharing what you have to offer with people, sometimes people expect you to give it to them for less because of the way you're presenting what you have to offer. And it's really important to understand how important presentation is. Presentation matters more than most people think it does. Consider this. When you're talking with someone about your product, do you look like your products work? Do you look like you're taking health and nutrition products? Is your skin radiant? Is your skin clean? Does it look like your makeup is well applied? Do you appear healthy? Are you rested? Or do you go around dragging and pretty much every conversation is about how tired I am or how I'm not feeling well? We have to be especially cautious of the words that come out of our mouth on a daily basis, because you do not know who is watching you in terms of evaluating your business vehicle and in particular your products. You have to understand that people are not buying your product as much as they're buying you. And if I don't look healthy, then how am I going to respond to someone when I'm listening to them and they're saying that they're not feeling well? I'm going to say, well, I have a product that will really give you a lot of energy and it'll make you feel a lot better. And you're going to look at me and say, well, but Tia, you were just complaining a minute ago about how your head was hurting and how you've been just tired for weeks. Even if I have been tired, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to think about what I say whenever I'm out in the public eye. And that's really critical for all of us to understand and embrace the importance of doing that. And when you think about retailing within the community, sometimes you'll send me an email or you'll call me and you talk about how can you make people buy something. I think that you can't ever make people buy anything that you have to offer, even if it is a good product at a great price. You have to switch your agenda, if you will, and start educating people with information about what you have to offer. People like to be educated. No one likes to be made to do anything. I mean, no one wants anyone else being the boss of them, right? So when you try to force people to do something, that's how it comes across. So focus on educating people within the community. First of all, in order to do that, you have to know the community. You have to look through your community and drive through the community. Be clear about where the schools are, where the churches are, where the community centers are. And always remember that each time you're looking at these places, you have to not think about what's in that building for me. You have to always think, what can I do for them? Because people are always going to be looking at it from the perspective of what's in it for them. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with them with that position, because what we're doing is serving other people. We're providing solutions to people's problems, which is another way of serving people. Think about the Boys and Girls Clubs that are in your area. Even though it's national, many are local and really in need of support and exposure to different avenues that we have to offer, such as the website, such as the OPC in the place of Ritalin. Think about the various programs that you're aware of in the community. There's always, I have not seen any congregations that don't need some money for teen mission trips. Lots of places have what's called rites of passage programs. There's always some sort of mentoring group activity going on. There seems to always be a need for money and passing the plate to raise money for certain areas, whether it's a building fund or a parking lot fund. There's always something going on. But you have to be in tune with what's going on, which means before you can consider retailing to churches and other community organizations, you have to be part of that community. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can do the basic, the easiest fundraising piece that I've ever done is simply asking the person who is running one of those programs if they're open to a fundraising opportunity, and you can simply pass around the Molotovs and take orders for that and let them have the retail profit. It's no different than the catalogs that we're always getting from someone at church because their kid is selling candy at school or selling different things during the holidays. So that's one of the easiest ways, because they get the retail profit, the group does, and the follow-up profit on subsequent sales is yours, as well as it generates a variety of exposure for your business from people that you would have not necessarily been able to connect to. Now, one of the struggles, and I did ask some of you to send in questions that you might have had concerning this issue before the call, one of the struggles is that many of you seem to think almost that the community owes you and that there's no reason why the church or this particular organization won't let you put your products there or just give you an open forum for demonstrating what you have to offer. Well, there's a couple of sides to that. The biggest side that I want you to keep in mind, especially in areas of the church, is that you cannot afford to put the church at risk. Okay? Now, from a legal view, churches are 501c3 institutions, nonprofits, so that the donations we give to the churches, we're also able to write off as a tax donation on our income tax return. But what that means, if you have any experience with 501c3s, is that they are very regulated. And they can't become involved in a sales business. That's not what their charter is about. Their charter is to save souls and spread the word, not to sell your products for you. So you have to understand that if you're going to work within this part of the community, you have to be willing to do the work and maintain that separation. At all costs, you have to avoid placing the people in leadership positions in conflict. Okay? Remember, it's service, service, service. The church needs, or the organization needs, come first. There's no other way around it if you want to protect them, because it's still possible for you to gain exposure. Think about those things we just discussed, all those varied activities that are going on in most places that you can easily become involved in if you open yourself up to that. But again, before you do that, you have to think again about what have you done for that organization. Do you support the catalogs that circulate? Girl Scout cookie sales just happened here. I'm sure they just happened all across the country. When those children came to church or knocked on your door to sell those Girl Scout cookies, did you buy some? And if you didn't, then how are you going to turn around and ask their parents to look through your Molotov? You have to realize that this needs to be a reciprocal arrangement, because this is your business that you're wanting to expand and you're wanting other people to support. The reality is for these parents, at least the ones who knocked on our doors to sell Girl Scout cookies, their children are their business. So I bought plenty of Girl Scout cookies, and I don't need to eat them all, and I took many of them down to the center so that somebody else could eat them, because the more I keep in this house, the more I'm going to eat. But the reality is we cannot expect the church to give us without us taking care of the programs and people who attend the churches and participate in these various community organizations. We have to be clear that we're looking for a way to serve them. Of course, it's going to benefit us. Okay? There's also some of you who have had the view that if the church isn't supporting your retail efforts, then somehow God doesn't want you to have this. Well, I think you really need to do some soul-searching, if you will, because what we need to be about is taking the action necessary to find success in our life, not looking to rationalize or justify the reason we aren't succeeding with the retail portion of our business, because that can't be our only avenue for establishing a retail customer base. And if it is, we need to join some other organizations where there wouldn't be those types of conflicts, because ultimately we're responsible for whether or not our retail business succeeds. When you think about how you can easily, in a non-threatening way, incorporate things into various churches, consider the opportunities around you. How many times do you have showers, baby showers at the churches? Almost all the time. You have anniversary celebrations. You have ladies' days. You have Mother's Sundays. You have lots of different opportunities. You can use gift baskets during that period of time, and we have on the group website a printout for what we can put into various gift baskets that gets exposure for our product and ultimately exposure for our business. So you can simply go to the group website, print down the gift basket tips, and use your mall talk to generate some new ideas for yourself in that area. When it comes to your other tools available, you can use your web portal and you can purchase gift certificates for your use, of course, but also as gifts. How many times do you have revival meetings? You have visiting speakers for mission groups. You can take your portal, use purchase gift certificates that can be used at restaurants or bookstores for those gifts, and you're still going to get the credit for it, but you're also sharing what you have with your particular congregation in a non-threatening way. It can make a big difference for you. If you want to focus, and I think Rick talked about this the last time he was on the call, you want to focus on the basics of the requirements that a church needs, then you can use your home shopping list in conjunction with the church supplies list. There was a list I got out of a catalog that came to the house from Sam's Club, and they're very smart about the way they do business, because one of the inserts was a church shopping list, and it covered a variety of areas. It covered the food needs, but for our purposes, it covered the cleaning supplies, bleach, dish soaps, dishwasher soaps, all of those things. It covered things like antibacterial wipes, hand sanitizers, things that we could easily put our Snap products in, easily put our Clear Shield in, and lots of other areas where they could make the purchases from one of our affiliate stores. So working with these communities really involves you understanding what you have to offer and knowing how it will work and connect with the organization in order to provide a solution to their problem. Because you're going to get a benefit and they're going to get a benefit, and that's when it's going to be most effective, and that's also when it's going to most likely develop into a long-term relationship. Now, if you want to move beyond the mall talk element and you want to have product previews or a health awareness seminar, then you have to be clear with the person in the congregation as to whether or not it's appropriate to meet in the building or if you need to have the meeting in your home. Now, many congregations, it's perfectly okay to have meetings in the building. They have lots of different things going on. If that works for you, then that may be easier because everyone can come to that location since they're used to doing that anyway. If not, then you need to arrange to have it in your home. Right now, we're really focusing on the health and wellness, so we're making a lot of use of Dr. Dutch's DVD, which is like one of my favorite DVDs. If you are familiar with it, it's the one where she does the entire health awareness seminar, and she walks people through the reason behind why they need different nutritional supplements. You can purchase the DVD by going to her website, which is healthchallenges.com, and she does have a special for multiple purchases. But I think that's one of the easiest ways to introduce your entire health and nutrition line to other people, especially at church meetings or community groups, because it really must, it pretty much speaks for itself. But if you're going to do that, make sure that you do the other follow-up that's necessary. Sharon has been working this area, and what you have to do is not just plug the DVD in, you have to talk to people about it first, and plug the DVD in, let them watch it, and then always do the health awareness survey so that you have follow-up opportunity to get back with them. Most people will fill out the health awareness survey for you, and that's that point I'm talking about of something in it for them. You're going to share information. You're going to educate them. You're going to show the DVD. You're going to take the health awareness survey because you're sharing information. You're not pressuring them to make a purchase from you. Okay? But most importantly, if you're dealing with community organizations, you really have to be disciplined because you have to have a schedule that lets you know what activities are coming up so that you know what you have to offer and how it's going to be appropriate. Right now, we're getting ready to hit major weddings, all sorts of springtime events. Flowers from your flower club are ideal for that. Even funerals that need flowers, it's an amazing opportunity you have to let people know what you have to offer. Mother's Day is coming up. You can create gift certificates for a Modus makeover or for a facial. Even if you don't do Modus, you can find someone else on your team or someone else in the forum who does, and you can work together. You can use those gift certificates for facials. Graduation's going to be coming up in the spring. You've got prom coming up. Lots of opportunities. If you just take some time and sit down and write out, get the church calendar, get the community organization's calendar, and see what they're planning, and then see how what you have to offer will fit with that. Almost every congregation and every community organization has cleanup days. They all have work days. That's going to be coming as soon as the weather breaks. How can you participate? Well, you have your SNAP products. You could also provide B12 cocktails. Everybody gets tired midway through those. That you don't have to charge for these. I'm not talking about you charging for the B12 cocktails this time. I'm just talking about you sharing something with someone. Because, one, they're going to feel the energy. It's going to demonstrate the isotonic capability. You're going to be a good guy. And then you're going to have opportunities for follow-up. Now, of course, I don't mean for you to show up at the workday and only stand there doing your B12 cocktails. I intend for you to show up at the workday and do some work because it's about participating. We're giving something. They're giving something. It's about service. And sometimes I think we forget that because we don't realize that the church is a business. Yes, they're doing particular work, but it has to operate as a business in this world. And so we have to give full value and good service to what we're offering them. And when you think about your particular community, you know that almost everyone does cleaning, so there's the SNAP line. Everyone needs disinfectant. Everyone has a bathroom. Everyone has sinks. They can all use SP7. Most places can use EcoSolve. They all have driveways. Daycare centers, there's not one I've ever seen that can't use your Global Care, that can't use your Nursery Magic. Church daycares can use Nursery Magic in the infant's room. All the workers there can use your Clear Shield. If you get to the point where you're doing the work days in the spring, everyone can use lawn power. If you're in a state where the plant power is allowed, you can use that for the plants that are in the building. I think it's an amazing opportunity to expand our retail base within the community by simply focusing on what the community has need of and how what we have to offer can help to meet those needs. Now, when you think about the fact that some of you are new to this business in particular, and especially new to retailing and trying to focus on your retailing, there really is a lot of good information out there. On the website, we have the retailing tips. We have several out there now. We have the ones from Don and Furman that have been posted for a while. We have information from Bruce, who's well past his $1,000 weeks in retail. And, of course, we have our input on the group website from Richard. And now, if you think about this, I mean, all three of these individuals are really doing wonderful with their business. The proof is in the amount of income that they're generating, and their tips are there for you to use. But it's not just a matter of going to the site and printing them down. You have to actively engage in doing what they say. And whether it's from Don and Furman's being a product of the product, having your own story to tell, you've heard it, you know it, it's just a question of when are we going to do it. To listening to Bruce tell you how he educates customers on a different product every month. This month I'm specializing in local glycemic product information, and that's all about transitions. would you like me to give you some information? And then to Richard's information where he talks to us about the importance of working on our share of customer and being super good customer service people with our customers. That's the way you retain them and you get referrals from them. And obviously he knows what he's talking about since when he met the Forum Challenge in February, he had $45,000 in retail in 5 months. I mean, I don't know about you, but I pulled down his information so that I can read it because I've definitely learned from it. But these are the daily details that you absolutely have to do if you're going to have the level of success you want with your retailing business. And you may not understand it if you're really new to this business, but retailing is really powerful because you can generate an enormous amount of income aside from your commission checks, and most importantly, you can help all of your new people get to a positive state as quickly as possible by using these retailing techniques. And now, some of you have some particular questions when it comes to how you integrate this into the community. And one of those spoke to how do you avoid people in the congregation and the community thinking that you're just wanting to take advantage of them and make a profit off them. I think that most people understand that business is business, but I think that many of you, I do this in my legal business, I have legal wellness education services because I simply want to educate people. So you could call yourself a wellness education advisor if you're not comfortable calling yourself a consultant, because most people do tend to think a consultant is only about money. So you could just be an education advisor. Many congregations now, because of the weight issues, because of the diabetes, have wellness ministries or at least open to periodic wellness presentations. But when you think about being a wellness education advisor for a congregation or a community, it still goes back to not approaching churches or community organizations without a referral and a personal introduction. Because, again, there has to be a reason why they're going to be receptive to you. And most people are receptive to those who have been vouched for by someone else that they know. Remember back to Jackie Blasco's first question. Can I trust the people? People have to have a reason to trust you. And generally, if they don't know you, then you've got to do some time. You've got to come through a source that they're aware of. Now, there was also some questions about how do you do these education seminars and avoid the appearance of the company endorsing it. And that happens with me all the time. And generally what I do there is just emphasize that it's an educational seminar that we're providing on a community-wide basis. Okay? Most people are always open to educational information. In terms of leaving material with the community organizations or leaving material especially at churches for people to check out and read on their own, remember this still is important for us to never take our focus off being one-to-one. And one-to-one means that we have to be there with them. Besides which, when you leave most things at churches, people don't check out the books they ought to be checking out to read or the tapes that they need to be listening to. They think they're going to, but they never really get to doing that. So I think it's important for you to keep the one-to-one connection no matter how you're doing it. And for those of you out there who have had some considerable success in this area, it'd be great if you just went to the website and sent it to me and I could share that with other people. But when you think about why we're not getting the success we want with the retailer, I want you to think about three questions. What should you do, which is the ideal? What do you do, which is your reality? And what can you do anyway, which is the possibilities and the options? Okay? So what should you do, the ideal? With your customers, at least one current customer, with your previous customers, with your potential customers, and I've used some of this material before. What you should do with your current customers is call them to confirm their product use and see if they have any questions. With your previous customers, call to confirm their continued success with the products and ask for a reorder and referrals. With your potential customers, listen, 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 and learn to provide only relevant information. Don't provide information about everything you have when all they mentioned in this initial conversation was a lack of energy. Okay? Why don't you do it? I think you don't do it because of fear of rejection. And most of that fear of rejection is based on the lack of belief in your product and yourself. Okay? And that's just that other piece that we simply have to overcome. What do you do and why do you do it? You sell product and don't have any further contact with people after you get their money. You see the person and avoid the topic and pray they don't bring it up. Or you sell your product at wholesale. Same reason why. Fear of rejection, lack of belief in the product and yourself. you'd be surprised that people can give you more value than you even think is warranted. I often have people who will assume I charge a certain fee for my legal services, and I don't charge anywhere near that. But they've placed a value on it that I don't charge because of what the way I believe it needs to be more education-based. So let people tell you no. Don't tell yourself no before you talk with these people. Now, what can you do? What are your possibilities and your options? First of all, you can focus on your reason for retailing. Is it strong enough for you to walk through the fear? You have to look at your big picture. I need this retail to get out of debt. I need this retail to pay my tithes. I need this retail in order to be able to leave my job and stay home with my children. I need this retail to be able to send my children to this summer camp or on this mission trip. You have to think about the retail, and especially working with this community, translating it from just the dollars and cents to the real impact. Not only will you be able to fund mission trips and get yourself out of debt, you'll be able to help other people get out of debt. You'll be able to help other people gain their wellness, which is absolutely critical. Now, how are you going to do this when you're busy with everything else in your life? You simply have to use some self-discipline and schedule these retailing activities into your life. And I mean seriously scheduling. I mean putting them on your calendar, putting them on your to-do list. When you don't, you just decided not to ask for the sale. I want you to put your appointments that you're going to review Dr. Dutch's DVD with people. Put down the appointments when you're going to complete the nutraphysical with someone. Put on your calendar when you're going to host your product preview shows, when you're going to distribute your mall talks and your brochures. You don't need to be any more of an expert on these products than what you get from the mall talk and the brochures. Using alarms is a great way to stay in your face. I use them all the time. I have alarms ringing on my palm. I have alarms jumping up in my face on the computer for when I need to do something. Because every action you schedule is going to do two things. One, you're either going to accomplish the action, or you're going to be in your own face and realize that you're not serious about what you said you wanted to do. You might actually wind up irritating yourself. And that can be fine, because at least you'll get to the place where you can see whether you want to treat retailing as a serious approach to generating the income that you said you needed. And if you don't, then you'll make other decisions. But if you do, you'll begin to implement the habits that will help you get to that level. And I think the second part of what you can do with the retailing, especially if you're going to venture into the community to expand your retailing like to the level that Richard has, you have to decide what you will do. You've got to use your own products. You have to find a product that you're passionate about and one that works well for you. Now, the one that works well for you may not be the one that works well for the people that you come into contact with, but it will give you your story to share. And if you don't have your own story to share, if you're new, use other people's stories. That's why we post testimonials on the website. When you have a customer who has good results with the product, ask them to write a testimonial. Most of them will do that. And then when you meet someone else, you can share that testimonial with them. Okay? But before you can get clear on what you're going to do in this area, you have to decide whether or not one of the reasons you're not doing it now is because you still think direct selling is not professional or it's beneath you. And I know that that is an issue in our community. It was an issue for me as an attorney. It was an issue for me as a military officer. Is this something I really want to do? I didn't have a problem with it once I translated from selling products to helping people have better lives. When I know that what I have to offer is going to make you feel better, is going to enable you to enjoy and maximize your life potential, hey, I have no problem whatsoever talking to you about this product. So you really have to ask yourself, do you really not care enough about anyone else you know or speak to within the community to offer solutions that you absolutely know work for problems that they have? And, you know, there's no plainer way to say it other than that you can't be successful with your retailing until you first get focused on caring about other people more than you care about the occasional rejection that will come from someone who doesn't want what you have to offer. But I know in particular in our community that sometimes the fear of loss of status, the fear of the reputation being impacted, fear of change, is going to cause you to hesitate. But you have to really think about what it means for you and those around you. Okay? Sometimes it's just a fear of testing ourselves in case we don't make it according to our standard or somebody else's standard. But unfortunately, you know, for most of us, meeting other people's standards has been a long-term challenge, and we have got to change our ingrained reaction, okay? We have to change and decide to step away from those expectations because it takes too much effort, too much time, and it costs us dearly. especially since we're not just working against external forces. You see, we're working against internal forces that might actually, I think, sometimes be stronger than the external forces. It's like we see the door closed, we assume it's locked, so we don't even try to turn the knob. But the door's not locked. All we have to do is turn the knob. It works. With this retailing, all we have to do is use the system tools. Remember the childhood game we always talk about? Simon says, the system says, read this brochure, pass the brochure out. The system says, watch this DVD, understand what it says, sit down with someone else, let them watch it, take the order. We simply have to convert the thoughts we have of fear to thoughts of anticipation. When I looked in the dictionary, anticipation means looking forward, and it's usually a pleasurable expectation. Okay? And that can be helpful when it's grounded in reality. I know I want to get transitional housing for people, so I ride in certain neighborhoods and not in others. You might want to buy a new car, so you go to a car dealership and you look at a $60,000 car. That's fine. But if you're still looking at that dealership 2 months later, yet you don't have your 10 preferred customers or even people in the funnel evaluating your business, that's no longer anticipation. That's just imagination. And imagination is a creation of the mind, a fanciful or empty assumption, very different from anticipation. Okay? And again, this goes back to what we talked about before, self-discipline through self-talk. And I think self-talk is really, really important in your retailing area because you can ask yourself, why are you using gas to go to this dealership when you could be meeting someone to show the DVD or deliver product? Why are you watching this television show when you could be calling prospects or customers or working on your names list? You know, is there somehow a car giveaway based on the number of hours you watch TV? If that was the case, I would have a garage full of cars, okay? Why am I letting my fear stop me from picking up the phone and making the calls? I know I'm competent and I'm capable, and the more calls I make, the more confident and capable I'll become. And then there's always a chance that I'll call them and I'll just get their voicemail, and I won't have to worry about it. You have to decide that we're going to walk through the fear. And the reality is that successful retailing anywhere, and especially in our community, it requires integrity and word in our character, professionalism in every action, commitment to following up, and the discipline to stay focused and provide exceptional customer service. When I was in the Air Force, I had a business card that read, customer service is our first priority. And I think if you don't believe customer service is your first priority, then this business is probably not ever going to work for you to the level that it could work for you. Again, look to Richard. He believes customer service is his first priority. Why? Because he believes people are his first priority. And that makes an amazing amount of difference in your ability to generate the level of retail that is necessary for you to have the success you say you want to have with this business. And there's a variety of ways that you can get those type of customers if you remember that people buy from people because they know you, they like you, and they trust you. You make people feel special because they really are special. Okay? It's what Nordstrom's does. It's what Lexus does. I bought some shoes to wear from Nordstrom's last year to convention. I wore them for that entire first day. They hurt my feet like you could not believe. When I came home, I took them back. They didn't ask for a receipt. They didn't ask for anything. They just asked if I wanted to get another pair or if I just wanted my money back. Why? Because they believe customer service is their first priority. If we start to do that and we're authentic and open with people in the community, I think it will make an amazing difference in the amount of retail that we're able to accomplish. So I heard that last beat, so I know I'm going to run out of time here. I'm really sorry that Rick didn't make this call. I'm sure that he'll do his utmost to reschedule for the next one if that's possible. Your assignment for this week is to follow up with 10 previous customers on the new offerings we have from Leadership School and ask them to review your brochures and help you with referrals and then note your results and what was your percentage of success. The Feed Your Mind quote for this week, and of course I'll email it to you right after the call, is if you don't have confidence, you'll always find a way not to win. If you don't have confidence, you'll always find a way not to win. Okay?